College of Judaism.
And welcome.
Welcome to the Power of the Alphabet. And today we're going to study the letter Chaf. According to Kabbalah, the letter Chaf is somehow related to natural disaster. How is this manifested? This letter will also teach us why all these natural disasters occur. The letter Chaf almost created an earthquake in 200,000 galaxies, says the Zohar. From where does this Chaf get so much power? And the Zohar also tells us that the letter Chaf is also connected to the throne of glory of God, Kisei HaKavod. So with all this power, what does this letter teach us about its consciousness and also about the throne of God? And another thing we'd like to query is the question of antimatter. What is antimatter? Excuse me. When you take matter and place it into antimatter, there's a very powerful release of energy that results. It's much stronger than a nuclear explosion. So first of all, what is antimatter? And secondly, how can we eliminate kilaya, which starts with the letter kof, kof, kilaya, extinction. And this is a word that begins with the letter chaf. How does antimatter remove the threat of extinction? Because you know, there are a lot of people who speak about the end of the world as we know it, because of all the pollution and the hundred other reasons. And one question we can deal with is the question on how we can eliminate extinction. And that's the power of the Chaf. It has the power to create extinction, but at the same time, the word Kli is vessel, begins with the letter Chaf also. So we have here two things, extinction and vessel. And also we have the word Keter, which also begins with the letter Kaf, which is crown. So what can we learn about all this? What does Keter mean to us? Where is this found in your life? When do you experience the feeling of Keter, of a crown? And what is Keter? It's something unreachable. And that's what we've learned. What else? Where do you experience Keter? New ideas. What is its essence? Its essence is 99% light. It's the seed level. It contains everything. That's why new ideas would contain everything. But Keter has also another significance. It is the beginning of a new idea. At the same time, it is also Malchut, because the crown of royalty, monarchy, is royalty, is earthly. When do you experience that? When things that you have planning for a long time reaches fruition in Malchut. And that's what the Chaf teaches us. And that is that when things end, things also begin. And that's why Kabbalah tells us about the Chaf, extinction on the one hand, and the power to eliminate extinction. The Zohar tells us that the Chaf was the Malchut of the world of creation. And when its place went down, it created a blockage of such forces that it blocked out 200,000 galaxies. That's how strong it is. It created blockages. What does that mean? The Chaf gives us the understanding that when earthquakes occur, when everybody feels everything is beautiful and everything is nice, then suddenly an earthquake occurs. And it can be for many people judgment, and for other people it can be mercy. It can give work to many people who are out of jobs because before the earthquake occurred, and it can destroy those who are pretty well off. So for one thing, it is a blessing, and for others, it's a curse. So we're going to learn how this Chaf works on that level. The Zohar tells us that the letter Chaf is connected to the energy of extinction and disaster. Okay? How so? How can a letter do such a thing? But remember, we said that the letters are channels, and each letter is a channel of a different kind of energy. Therefore, we should know that what we are speaking about here is a kind of a channel. We're saying that the physical structure of the letter represents something. So we have to understand this, and we also should know how the letter Chaf is related to the chair of God, the Kisei HaKavod that I mentioned. But why does God need a chair? After all, he's a light force. And also we should know that the letter Chaf is related in some way to antimatter, which we talked about. Does anyone here know what is antimatter? The scientists tell us it is something that exists, however, it's not matter. So what is it? Is it this table? Maybe. So what they're saying is that whatever you have as matter, there also exists within it antimatter. It's the same matter. It's mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter. And instead of having in every atom protons, which are positive, and every nucleus and the electrons on the outside, with antimatter, it's just the opposite. The protons are on the outside and the electrons are on the inside of the nucleus. So in the nucleus, the proton is negative and the electron will be positive. It's just the opposite. And they call that positrons. And the positron is an electron in the form of antimatter. It is basically a kind of an electrical impulse through electrical fields. So if our universe were made of antimatter, everything would look the same. So then what would be the difference? But it would be different. They tell us that today everything has antimatter. When the world was created, there was matter and antimatter. So then where is the antimatter? They haven't the slightest idea of where it is, but they know that it's here. That's the phenomenon. However, when we study Kabbalah, and this becomes real things which you've got to understand, today we'll come to know how we in our personal lives create antimatter. And this will include how we can have control over our own personal lives through this knowledge of this antimatter. And then this chaf, this letter, will explain in a spiritual way what science describes in a physical way as electrons, neutrons, and positrons, and other things as well. And the Zohar told us this 2,000 years ago. And without these Hebrew letters of ours, it would be very difficult for us to understand all these scientific theories, what they're about. So what we're saying now is that the Chaf created the antimatter. Now how did the Chaf create the antimatter? And why will be, you know, and that basically that's going to, and why, that's going to be the discussion for today. We see natural disasters occurring periodically, more and more as we get older and older. And according to the Zohar, the letter Chaf almost created a disaster that could have destroyed 200,000 galaxies. That is to say that it caused a disaster where 200,000 galaxies would receive all the disasters all at once. Now it's hard to understand the concept of our own galaxy with all of its parts. And here we're listening to a concept of 200,000 galaxies. What's the significance in all this? Why should the Zohar even tell us about it? It tells us about it to indicate to us that the Chaf, which has within it antimatter, has within itself the power of extinction to destroy. But we're talking here about all the disasters that could happen and having it happened all at once. That means here you'd have all the tornadoes and the earthquakes and everything else that you can think of at one time, and a hurricane. Now, if we understand what this is all about, then it's conceivable that we can at least do something about disasters as they relate to our personal lives. That's the theory behind all of this. The power of extinction with all of its varieties occur in specific places. Does anyone have any idea that why in California there are earthquakes and we don't have earthquakes in New York? Why are there hurricanes in Florida and not in Kansas? Why are there tornadoes in Kansas and not necessarily any in Chicago? Basically. Perhaps it has something to do with the numerical value of their names. What is the numerical value of Los Angeles? It is written out in Hebrew, 240. And we know that 240 in Kabbalah is safek, it's doubt. It also refers to Amalek, the arch enemy of Israel. Amalek, but why should that force appear in Los Angeles? The Zohar tells us these kinds of disasters occur where there is more convenience. If you look at these places, you'll find more convenience. The weather is nice, the people are warmer, easier to make money, you know. Let's do lunch. Things are easy in California. People work to play. They do. I live there, I know. And suddenly there's an earthquake and the whole economy is shattered and suddenly things become difficult. Same applies to Florida. People go to Florida for vacation. They go to retire. Why? Because it's nicer there, it's clean, it's pretty, there's a beach, and life is easier here than elsewhere. But when a hurricane comes, it suddenly shakes us all up, right? Because it wants to bring something else into our consciousness. It wants to wake us up. Because what do you experience if you go through an earthquake or a real hurricane? Fear, uncertainty, doubt, panic, loss. All these things that we experience brings us another kind of consciousness to our minds. We're no longer grounded. We've lost our feelings of security. And according to Kabbalah, that's the purpose of life, is tikkun, correction, spirituality. And everything connected to it is only a means of life. Why are you laughing?
Kansas, then, would be a very spiritual place to live because we're having to practice correction every day.
That's true. See, the purpose of life is not the car. It's not the house. It's not the money. They're only a means we have in order for us to correct our soul. And suddenly there comes the awakening that these material things are nothing. In a minute they could be gone. So there must be another purpose. So these natural disasters at times brings us to the awareness of our real purpose in life. And that's why we're here for spiritual reasons. And sometimes we need these natural disasters to awaken us. And with this in mind, you can look at Los Angeles and you can look at Miami, not as places with a great deal of negativity, but as places with a great deal of spirituality. And these natural disasters that occur here are only present to awaken us to the potential of spirituality that exists here. And then there's a great deal of spirituality present. But sometimes we need something to prod us. You see, New York is a place where people are tough. Cold, hard. People are more rough there. Sharp elbows. You park your car and when you return you're left with a frame. It's too cold. It's too hot. Life is tough. Its aura is filled with difficulties. There is a constant awakening to the transitoriness of life. But think about this. Right now, are you worrying about a tornado here in Kansas? No. We already forgot about the last one. Right? The Kabbalah also tells us that any form of disaster is both judgment and mercy at the same time. And you hear that in the 23rd Psalm. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A rod is used for punishment, a staff is used for support. So, judgment and mercy at the same time. Both forces are present. For some people it's judgment. For some people losing everything they have is judgment, it's bad. For others it's a blessing. For people who are in the construction business, now they've got a great deal of work. Their economic situation will improve. For the people who work in glass and windows, it's a boon, right? So for some it was judgment, for some it was mercy. This only means that it is matter and it is antimatter. How does judgment and mercy relate to matter and antimatter? And what we will see is that matter and antimatter are two worlds that exist right here at the same time. One is the world of illusion and one is the world of reality. One is the world that we can see and one is the world that we cannot see. And we've spoken about this before. We learned, is this a world of mercy, the world that we live in, or is this a world of judgment?
World of mercy.
This is a world of mercy. Why is this a world of mercy?
There's a delay before we experience the consequences.
That's right. There is time. There's time to repent. In the spiritual world, whatever you do, there's no time, space, or motion. You get the results immediately. And all this goes back to antimatter. What is the antimatter in the world? What is the world of mercy? It is the real world. But you know that this is a world of illusion because we do not see the judgment immediately. In this world of illusion, we never know what the right decision is. To get to the world of reality, we've got to go through the world of illusion. And that's the pattern. And so the world of mercy is the illusionary world. It's the world of matter. And that's the world in which we live. It's the world in which we think things are real, but they're not. And you should also know that the world of antimatter is the world of judgment. This is the world where there is no time. It's the endless world. That's the real world where there is no time, no space, no motion, and that's our purpose in life, is to get to the real world, to the world of judgment. Have you ever noticed that as people become more and more spiritual, the time between cause and effect shortens? Now, when you begin to study Kabbalah, you say to yourself, you know, why such and such occurred to me? Because I did this and I did that. Suddenly you begin to see that the effect of the things you did wrong almost immediately. The space which exists between the two, and perhaps also the fragmentation between the two, suddenly disappears. And more you begin to find yourself in the real world. You're more in the real world of antimatter, where you can see what causes things to happen. And that is antimatter. But remember, we still have to go through the illusionary world to the real world. Got to go through this world. And so the scientist says that matter and antimatter are together in this world, and the Zohar says that mercy and judgment are together. Usually what we experience is the world of mercy. That is space, time, and motion. That by itself is disappearing. But in the world of antimatter, there is no fragmentation, no limitation, no illusion. Everything is complete and everything is perfect. And for some people, it is a problem to live in such a world. Some people just can't handle it. For some, an earthquake is a time for more spirituality, for progress, for change, and for others, it's just something else. However, ultimately, it has to do with the way we look at things. I can look at the chair and say, this is a chair. I can look at a chair and say, it's a bunch of atoms. I can look at a chair and say that it doesn't exist. It all has to do with my perception of things. And this all has to do with the fact that we live in a world of free choice. Now, we know that life wants to share. What does that mean in your personal life? It wants us to have more health, more money, all the good conditions in life. And there are times that you have an accident and you go to the hospital and they find out that, by the way, you happen to have cancer and you're saved because you got it in the first stages. It's all because of the car accident, which you thought was terrible, but it was antimatter. Comes as judgment, suddenly a shock, and I awake and I finally see the truth. I see what's real. That's the antimatter. So on the one hand, extinction, that is the chaf, kalaya. On the other hand, the power of antimatter, judgment, and at the same time, antimatter. And that is what the chaf teaches us. That is the consciousness of the chaf. And if we learn the lesson of the chaf, then we grow spiritually. We then can gain more control. It's like the person in the accident with the cancer. Didn't he get more control over his life? But he had to have an accident. He would never have known about his illness if he didn't have that car accident. That's the way of antimatter. So you should know that the world of antimatter is right here, and we have to connect to it. But most of us believe that we have no control over our lives, and the moment that we have this consciousness, we allow negativity to enter into our beings. But we don't have to worry. We have enough chaos in our lives. We have so much negativity that we don't have to look for it. It'll come to us even if we're not looking for it. It's always there. You have this negativity in your office, you got it in your street, you got it in the hospital, you got it in your home, so you don't have to ask for it. Now, having said all this, we move on. So we know that we ourselves create a great deal of extinction in our lives. That we know, right? You know, we do a lot of negative things. And remember, we spoke once about female water. It refers to the spiritual aspect of creating a vessel. It's a connection to mercy, but not chesed, because chesed is sharing. In any event, when we speak about female water, we're speaking about creating a vessel. Mayim nukvim. And we have mentioned this already. It's the idea that if we prepare the proper vessel, the light will be revealed. And that is the power of each of the Hebrew letters that can change in some way the power of the desire to receive for oneself alone to one of sharing. Another aspect of this female water, it's not really female water, it's a vessel basically to allow the light to come in, has to do when you get up in the morning. What is the first thing you think about when you wake up? The things you have to do during the day. They all have to do with me. What I got to do? What I got to do this? I got to do that? I got to do this? When we awake, the first thing we think about is ourselves. And that will therefore determine what we're going to do all day. And that becomes the seed of the day. And then the entire day revolves around me. Therefore, the first thing we think about in the morning will determine what will happen all day. And that's the effort we're speaking about where we talk about creating that female water. Do you want to know what the female water is? It is the change that you make to create a different vessel to allow the light to appear in your life. Therefore, what we are saying here is everything changes according to our consciousness. All the matter is controlled by our desire to receive for oneself alone. That is matter. And we can change that with our consciousness. And that is what happens on Passover when we take the three matzot. It's amazing how all these courses coincide. You take those three unleavened breads and designate one as Kohen, priest, one as Levi, Levite, one as Yisrael. Now, do you think when you eat these matzot, they're going to taste differently? I don't think so. They're going to taste the same thing. But something on the subatomic level has changed. We have the power to change the subatomic level. And that makes one matzah imbued with the power of matter, one matzah to have the power of antimatter, and the other matzah to have the power of female water, the mei nukvin, the vessel. And that's what we create with the power of our consciousness. So this is no longer just terminology, female water. It is something with which we can work in order to make a change in our lives. So now you're going to tell me, but I don't see anything different. And so now you'll say, you know, I don't see anything. The answer to that, of course, is that with one's eyes, we don't see any difference. But there is a difference in the subatomic level. Perhaps it's reflection you can see, but you can't see it with your eyes. However, during the year, you might see the difference. Things will happen differently. You'll have more control. You'll be able to change those situations that are not convenient. That'll be a difference, something that you might not have been able to do in the past. And therefore, we can be, in a word, a universe of matter. And this means that it will be a year of limitation, a year of extinction, a year where Murphy's Law is operating all the time. It'll be a year where everything goes wrong. Things are not easy for you. It's all occurring to you because your world is a world of matter. Your world is the world of Murphy. However, if you live in the world of antimatter, things will be different. And your problems are solved easier. Things go right for you. It seems that that a great deal of your unnecessary process will disappear. Doesn't happen very often. Only happens in the movies, right? Good endings. Only in the movies you can go on a vacation and when you return, everything is okay. In real life, when you return to the headaches, the problems, and the basement flooded. However, in the world of antimatter, when the outside is the positron, then there will be no doubts, no maybes, no ifs, but things will be exactly as we determine. Now that we know that antimatter is really the power of the letters, they create the pockets of energy, they create the female water, so that the male water, meaning the light and the energy of the Creator, can enter. And now we come to the conclusion that extinction and destruction comes about when people are related to matter, when people are connected to the world of matter. And therefore, it is we who determine extinction of creation, or creation. Destruction or revelation, it's all in our hands. So if we only think about what is good for us, we will create extinction.